السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم، فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 83-84, Verily there has come unto you a messenger from amongst yourself. It grieves him that you should receive any difficulty. He is anxious over you for the believers, full of pity, kind and merciful. Today is the last day of holy month of Rabiul Awwal, and this is the holy month, as we know, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in this world as the mercy and rahmah for the entire universe, rahmatul lil alamin. The Mubarak Seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the practical example and role model for the believers, for the mankind, up till the Yawmul Qiyamah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. There are so many attributes and sifat of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself praised our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Holy Quran. What we can praise, what we can say about the beauty and sifat and attributes of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this verse also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted one of the very great sifat and attribute of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was full of empathy. This is English word, is very difficult to explain in words, but in short, there is a difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy means that you know someone is suffering, going through with the hardship, and just by looking at to him or her, you feel sorry about him. You feel sorry about him. That's called sympathy, meaning you are not experiencing yourself, but just looking at to someone suffering without knowing how much of pain or difficulty practically he is going through or she is going through. Just observing, looking at to his or her condition, you feel pity about yourself and you express your sympathy. As for empathy, is more deeper. Empathy means you are feeling and going through the same pain, same difficulty, same anxiety like he or she is going through. Exactly, you know how he's feeling. Like you putting your leg in the shoes of someone, applying upon yourself. That's called empathy. The connection, the relationship with the person who is suffering or who is going through with any kind of physical, mental, spiritual difficulty, anxiety, worry, concern. You feel it and you know exactly how he's going through. For example, you lost your your son in young age, and now someone, your relative, you know, his son passed away. Now, what is going through in his mind because of that sorrow and that concern? You know exactly how it feels because you already experienced that feeling. You also have lost your son, or any kind of this kind of, you know, difficulty and pain which you are experiencing as a person in front of you is right now going through. And that's how you condolence to him, you try to support him morally and spiritually, verbally, you know, and showing your kindness towards it. This is called empathy. It's more deeper than just sympathy. Sympathy just lip service, just saying few words, good words to, you know, calm him down. But empathy is really you putting yourself in his condition, in his position, in his situation, and then showing your mercy and your kindness and try to help him out somehow. That is called empathy. So I will give some examples how our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was full of empathy. In this ayat, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted the same sifat and attribute of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to empathy. He said, "Verily, there has come to unto you a messenger amongst you from yourself." So he is not angel. He is not extraordinary personality in a sense of structure, but he is amongst you, like he is a human being. So that feelings you have, he also have the same kind of feelings, because he's the same person, like he's from mankind. He's not extraordinary, creature or creation, just like angel. He's just like you, with the flesh and bone and blood. He also has heart like you. He also has feelings just like you. From among yourself. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted this word among yourself? Meaning that you feel comfortable to follow him. If, for example, that like Kuffar of Makkah used to claim, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Muhammad na'uzubillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger, he is just like me, us. He is just born in front of us. He is eating, he is walking in bazaar. You know, he's talking. So he cannot be a messenger. Messenger should be some extraordinary creation of Allah, like Jibreel alayhi salam or someone. He could come and guide us. We're not going to believe this Muhammad. He was born in front of us. He's just human being like us. That was their claim. But the great wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen and selected for the guidance of the mankind amongst the mankind. Amongst the mankind. So all of them is on the same page, in the same situation. And it becomes easy to follow a man instead of following the angel, who doesn't have any feeling, who doesn't have any connections, who doesn't have any relationship. He doesn't have wife and children or parents. How are you going to follow the angel? He doesn't have feeling like you as a human being. So for you to follow, the great example is from yourself. Mankind, just born like you are born. He gets hungry and thirsty just like yourself. So you can easily follow his footsteps, right? So amongst yourself, and it grieves him that you should receive any difficulty. Any person in Makkah Mukarrama or Medina Munawwara used to suffer going through with any hardship, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feel the pain like he is suffering, or he is going through exactly like a person is going through. That was empathy. And he is anxious over you. He doesn't want that any human being, let alone human being, any animal, any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should suffer. You know, there was so many incidents. You know that one Sahabi has captured one bird, and that bird was crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Put him back into the nest. It has some, you know, birds inside." So he used to feel the feelings of the bird. The camel came and complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that my master is putting a lot of burden on my back, which is unbearable for me, and is hitting and beating me too much. He is not giving me anything to eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shouted that sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that your camel is complaining. He's complaining to me that you're putting so much of burden upon him. Don't put so much of burden which is unbearable for him. And give him the food and, you know, whatever his provision is, and don't hit and beat, because it has the soul. It has the feelings. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have the feeling even for the animals. So one time in Surah Tawbah, this incident has been mentioned. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, as we know, is Ra'isul Munafiqin. He was a leader of hypocrites in Medina Munawwara. And he tried his best. He was internal hidden enemy of Islam, and especially our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the Sahaba. So he used to have conspiracy with the Kuffar of Makkah all the time. Internal enemy. It was animal too, you can say that. So he died. He troubled too much to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba to that extent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed their bad qualities and bad habits in the whole surah, Suratul Munafiqun, in chapter 28. You can read the Suratul Munafiqun. It is revealed to expose their bad habits, their conspiracy, their plan against the Islam and against the beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was the leader of the Munafiqun, right? He died. Now his son, his name also was Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He embraced Islam. And he was very mukhlis and sincere Sahabi companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he knew my dad is causing so much trouble and hardship for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But after all, he was his dad. So, can you switch it off? Whose phone is ringing, brother? So, astaghfirullah, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallim. So, he died. And Hazrat Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I know my dad was a very bad person and he caused so much of trouble to you and Islam. But after all, he was my dad and I am worried about his akhirah. He died now, he's no more. Please, if you can give your Mubarak, you know, upper garment, kurta, so I can shroud him, and because of your Mubarak kurta, Allah will have, you know, easiness and raham and mercy upon him in the grave, and he will be protected from the punishment of the grave. That is all my intention." So to please his beloved Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Abdullah, the son of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out of his way. Empathy. He took out same time his upper garments, shawl. Okay, take it and shroud him in this upper garment. Maybe because of this, Allah will forgive him. If you see, if this is your belief, I'm going to empathize with you. That is empathy. And then he say, requested again that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you can come and perform salatul janaza upon the mayyit of my beloved, my father, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, maybe because of your, you know, dua and forgiveness, because salatul janaza is the dua. Because of that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his sins and overlook all his shortcomings and grant him Jannah. That is my intention as a son. I still have feelings for my dad, no matter what he was doing and how bad he was." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted this request of his beloved Sahabi just to please him. The intention of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to please the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. He said, "Okay, when his burial is prepared, call me So they informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is approaching to perform Salatul Janaza, here Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is approaching to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the back he hold his garment. He say, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the Prophet of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declare he's not going to forgive these munafiqeen, hypocrites, and he's the leader of hypocrites. How you can perform his Salatul Janaza? You shouldn't do this. He doesn't deserve it. Let him go to hell." Because prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this verse upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Istaghfir lahum am lam tastaghfir lahum, in tastaghfir lahum sab'ina marratan falan yaghfir Allahu lahum dhalika bi annahum kafaru billahi wa rasulihi wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqin." That, oh my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you make istighfar for the whole munafiqun, all the group of munafiqun, including Abdullah Ubay ibn Salul, who is the leader, or if you don't make istighfar for them, regardless, anyway, Allah will never ever forgive them. This is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Holy Quran. In tastaghfir lahum sab'ina marratan, if you keep on asking forgiveness, making dua for him 70 times. This figure is not for tahdeed. They used to say a lot of things, like we say, "I call you 100 times, you did not answer my call," or "Yeah, I told you 100 times not to do it, you're still doing that." This is how we talk in our culture. 100 times is the figure, is not exactly he call or stop him for 100 times, right? It's just to show many times. I reminded you, but you're still doing the same wrong thing. So likewise, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has figured it out. Sab'ina marratan, 70 times. If you make istighfar, still, I'm not going to forgive them. Why? Because they have done kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of the kufr, Allah will never ever forgive them. And Allah doesn't guide to those who commit a kufr and fisk. So that was the ayat in front of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already declared in the Holy Quran, they are not going to forgive us, so your kurta, your shrouding, you know, in that, or performing Salatul Janaza is not going to help him anyway. Why are you setting an example to perform the Salatul Janaza of the hypocrite? This is not good for the Muslims. It's going to hurt their feelings." That was the opinion of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop me clearly, directly. He given me an option. In tastaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum. If you ask forgiveness for them or you don't ask forgiveness for them. Even you say 70 times, I will not forgive. But Allah clearly, directly did not stop me to ask forgiveness. If I have to say forgiveness more than 70 times, and for that, if Allah will have mercy upon him, I'm going to keep on making dua maghfirat for him. That is the mercy of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul lil alamin. He's not looking at what he has done to him, how much of harm to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, to the Islam, and to especially Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insulted, humiliated, conspired against him, did all life. But is one side. Other side is the mercy of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter what he has done to me, but after all he's a human being. After all he's my ummati. And this is my job. This is my task to make sure and make an effort to protect each and every soul from the hellfire, including Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. After all, it's my ummati. So Allah did not clearly stop me to make forgiveness or maghfirat for him. I will continue to do until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went ahead and he performed Salatul Janaza upon the mayyit of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. As soon as Salatul Janazah is finished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Jibreel salam came down immediately there in graveyard, Jannatul Baqi, and revealed this verse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, second verse, what is that? وَلَا تُصَلِّي عَلَىٰ أَحْدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَكُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Straight order now. That was the last time. Before, it was not straight order. That was a choice given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether we make dua istighfar or not, Allah will not forgive. But you have a chance to keep on making dua maghfirat. It's up to you. But here in this verse, after performing Salatul Janaza upon Abdullah ibn Ubay Salud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a direct command. La tusalli. Never ever perform Salatul Janaza upon any hypocrite. Ala ahdi mimma ta'abadar. Right? وَلَا تَكُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ. And you do not stand on the grave of the hypocrite, of the munafiq. Why? Same thing, same reason. إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. They have committed kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they don't deserve a maghfirat and tawbah. وَمَاتُوا. And they died in that state. وَمَاتُوا. وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. They died in the state of fisk and fujur. They did not make sincere tawbah. They did not repent. They did not turn towards Islam and Iman. They died internal. Allah knows the condition of the heart. Outwardly, they used to pray Salatul, all five times Salat with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, behind Rasulullah in Masjidun Nabawi. They used to sit in the majalis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Masjidun Nabawi. They used to sit in the mashwara of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Masjidun Nabawi. They used to even take part in the jihad. So all other Muslims can say, oh, they are our brothers. They are also taking part in jihad. So outwardly they were doing all these activities of Islam. But Allah knows what is hidden in the heart. From inside, they were enemies of Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the kufr and shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stamped on their heart, they are not going to become a true believer. And they're going to die in that state. That's why, because you kafir and mushrik, a prophet of Allah should not perform Salatul Janaza, should not stand on the qabr of any kafir or any munafiq. That's ayat. Now is clear cut message or order and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever performed any munafiq's janaza in Madinah Munawwara until he passed away, or he did not go to any munafiq's qabr. From here, the ulama have derived some masail. In today's time, my brothers and sisters, we have some colleagues who are non-Muslim, Christians or Hindus or Jewish. They are working with us. Or maybe they are our neighbors. And we have very good social relationship with them. Very good social relationship with them. They respect us, we respect them. Now, some of them died. What should we do? Some of brothers go and take the part in the funeral of the non-Muslim. From this verse of the Holy Quran, ulama has given this fatwa that any Muslim should not attend any funeral of the kafir, mushrik, and munafiq. Munafiq is not in today's time because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no more with us, so we cannot say anybody is munafiq. But kafir, mushrik, Yahud, Nasara, we are not allowed, no matter how close friend he or she is with us, is not allowed to attend or take part any funeral service of the kafir and mushrik, Yahud and Nasara, according to this verse of the Holy Quran. Same thing, we should not go to their graveyard while they are getting buried or whatever, you know, they are, you know, getting buried or whatever. We should not take part in any service. Yes, you say, oh, I have to keep up my relationship. He's my neighbor, he's my colleague. He will feel bad if I... Yes, you are allowed to do the condolence later on. When burial is done, next day or in the evening, when everything is done, you just go to his house and show your sympathy and do the condolence later on after the service is over. But while service is going on, you cannot go to the chapel, you cannot go to the any a mandir or temple and take part in that service. You are not allowed. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran. Okay, the second incident, my brothers and sisters, Hazrat Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala an, he was a son of Abu Jahl. And we know that Abu Jahl was the staunch enemy of Islam. From the beginning, from day one, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, they were very, very, you know, severe enemy of Islam and Muslim. Whoever used to embrace Islam in Makkah Mukarramah, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab used to torture physically, mentally, you know. They used to give very hardship to every Sahabi who used to embrace Islam. And they have all so many plans to kill our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They even attack on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, in Battle of Badr, the first battle, Abu Jahl was killed. I don't want to go in detail. Now his son was very active soldier. He was very brave, Ikrama. And he took part in the second battle, Battle of Uhud, Battle of Tent, Trenchy, all the way to Fathul Makkah. In every battle, Ikrama was taking part in jihad against Islam, against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under the commandership of Abu Sufyan. After the conquest of Makkah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they enter into the Makkah victoriously, now Ikrama ran away. And his wife, Ummi Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anha, already embraced Islam. And she used to love her husband so much. Now this is the problem. The wife is Muslimah, and husband is non-Muslim. They cannot stay together. This is also a big problem in today's society. They perform nikah in the Yahudi and Nasara, and they continue their lives. But this is a different topic. So she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked permission, Ya Rasulullah, I love my husband so much. And he ran away from Makkah Mukarramah, he went to Yemen. And I want to bring him back because I cannot live without him. If you grant me amnesty, if you grant me that when he comes back, because he is a staunch enemy of Islam, and he took part in jihad against Islam, so he deserved to be killed. Those few names, Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared the, you know, general amnesty, that whoever, you know, drop off their weapon, they are forgiven. Whoever will close their house, they were forgiven. Who will go into the Haram Sharif, forgiven. Who will enter into the house of Abu Sufyan will be forgiven. This was the general amnesty for all the kuffar of Makkah after the conquest of Makkah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned few names. These are the staunch enemy. Wherever you find them, just kill them. Among those was Ikrama. He was not forgiven by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he ran away to protect his life. Now his wife came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked for amnesty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted him her. Okay, take my turban and go and call him. I will forgive him. There will be no harm for him. So she ran away. She went after Ikrama and she found he was just, you know, going onto the ship, climbing onto the ride onto the ship. He said, "Oh Ikrama, come. I got amnesty and protection from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants to forgive you." He said, "Yeah, really? You want to forgive me?" He said, "Yes, just come back. Don't put yourself in trouble." So somehow she convinced Ikrama and brought him back into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinah Munawwarah. Here in Makkah Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while she was gone to call her husband, here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned towards Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alaihi majma'in and say, "Listen to me carefully. We know how bad Abu Jahl was and how bad his son Ikrama is and how much of cause and harms, you know, he caused to the Islam. But he's coming with sincerity. He's coming back with the repentance. He's coming back and I hope he will embrace Islam. So I am warning all of you, in front of Ikrama, don't mention his father's bad name. Don't call his father Abu Jahl. His real name was Amr bin Hisham. Abu Jahl's name was Amr bin Hisham. And people used to call him Abul Hatam prior to Islam. Before Rasulullah SAW declared the prophethood, people of Makkah, because he was one of the great leaders of Quraysh, very rich, very influential, and great powerful leader. So people used to call him out of respect Abul Hatam, the father of wisdom. But when Rasulullah started preaching Islam and he did not embrace Islam, he did not accept it, the kalima of Rasulullah, on that Sahaba, Muslim Sahaba, started calling him opposite, Abu Jahl. He's not the father of wisdom, rather he's the father of ignorance. Because he doesn't understand the serious message of Allah and the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He does not believe in the revelation of the Holy Quran. So he's not Abu al-Hakam, he's Abu Jahl. He is the father of ignorance. So just to insult him, they have to call him like that. Sahaba, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned all the Sahaba, he's coming back. He's going to embrace Islam, I hope so. And he's coming with the repentance and sincerity. Don't call his dad Abu Jahl, because it will hurt him. After all, whatever his father did is done, is a history. In front of him, if you say bad word about his father, he's going to feel bad. So don't speak Abu Jahl in front of Sahaba. Agreed on. Anyway, he came, he embraced Islam, and he became so sincere Sahabi of Rasulullah from that, from that day, that he took part in every jihad against the kuffar after that. And he died in the 636 AD, in the time of the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he sent expedition to fight against the Christian Byzantine army in Yarmouk, nearby Syria. Yarmouk is very famous battle of Yarmouk. In that battle, Hazrat Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala was fighting and killing the Christians, and in battlefield he died as a shaheed. So look at, after embracing Islam, because of the mercy, because of the empathy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned his entire life, his attitude, and he's become beloved Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, we have to learn this great quality, try to implement in our daily life. We should have empathy for everyone, regardless if the Muslim or non-Muslim.